All right, so today we're taking the pulse of Chuck Murphy, local musician and somebody that we've met through. We held an FOS presentation back in June.
Yep.
And he played at our FOS celebration, and he did a fantastic job. And we kind of just kept in touch with him over the last couple months, and got to know him a little bit and what he does. And he is extremely busy.
Understatement.
But he loves to play. He does a fantastic job. And we're hoping to do something with him in the future to kind of have fun with some of our Catan and scouting family. So, Chuck, give us a little background about how you got into playing music, when did you start, and where you've got to today, because I know you are just crazy busy. We were talking before it started, and
Upon a time.
Settle in, boys and girls.
As I was growing up as a kid, you know, my dad had a huge vinyl collection.
Yeah.
And every Saturday morning I'd wake up and I'd throw on Rush or Led Zeppelin or Partridge Family or Bread or just whatever was in his box.
Right.
And so I guess as a little kid, I started developing that knack for finding my place in this world.
Right. You know,
and music was it. So that's pretty much how the whole influenced my brain, I guess.
Sure.
I just started playing in bands when I was like 16, 17. You know, that was the cool thing to do back then, you know. I'm in a band, you know. But
and guitar is your main instrument. Do you play anything else?
I play piano and bass as well.
Okay.
If you play guitar, you play bass as
so
well.
You so you took lessons when you were younger?
No, never taken a lesson.
No kidding.
So you're self-taught?
Self-taught. Internet, wow. Baby. Right when it first came out.
and self-taught on piano as well?
Yeah.
Wow.
All by ear.
Jeez.
Can't read music, but you play something, I can pick it right up.
No
awesome.
Kidding.
Yeah.
Huh. Wow.
It reminds me kind of like, have you seen the movie Almost Famous?
Yeah. Mm. Yep.
Where she gives, Zooey Deschanel leaves and gives him all his vinyls, and she leaves him a note that says, if you listen to Tommy while burning a candle, you will see your future.
It wasn't quite like that. It wasn't that dramatic, was it?
No, not quite.
Oh.
So you were in a band. How many bands have you been in?
Oh,
in your life?
God.
Quite a few,
five
huh?
Five or six, probably.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What was the most successful band you were ever in?
It's hard how you define this success.
Right,
you know?
Right.
For me, I would define success as having the most fun.
Yeah. Yep.
And so that was probably Skin Tight, which was, we were like an 80s rock glam band.
No kidding.
I wore the makeup, I had long fur coat, I had lipstick, whole nine yards.
That's
and
awesome.
We got made fun of like there was no tomorrow, but you know, we were the cool kids that were doing glam.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And you had a lot of fun doing
it. Yeah, exactly.
Very cool. Yeah. All right, so you did an acoustic show for us.
Sure.
Is that the majority of what you do then? Is acoustic now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as performance, yeah.
Sure. What now I know in the past few months you've played with some big names. I know that you played with Bret Michaels, right?
I was supposed to in November, but it ended up getting canceled.
Oh, but it was at a casino, is that right?
No, it was at a Seven Flags Event Center in Des Moines.
Okay.
Which is like basically like a smaller version of iWireless Center.
Gotcha. Wow. So that didn't happen, but you were on the slate to do it. You were geared up, ready to do it.
Yep.
Has there been anybody else notable that you've played with?
Past year, I've played with Eric Martin of Mr. Big, who's the lead singer of those guys. John Crowley of Motley Crue, who was like the one-off guy after they fired Vince Neil in 94. I've played with Tripp and Billy's a couple times.
Tripp and Billy's, man. I remember going down the district when we were...
Great band.
Oh, man, I don't know, 23, 24, so 10 years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
And, man, they did. They sound great.
Yep.
They sound
exactly
great.
Exactly like Dave.
They do.
It's
they
scary.
Do. Now, they go all around the Midwest.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yep.
And you've played with them here in the QC?
Yeah, I played with them at Ripco a couple times.
Cool. So how does that happen? I mean, you start running in the same circles, kind of, and then you just say, hey, you're playing here, and they ask
good and
you?
Good.
Or?
I get in good with bar owners.
Sure.
Because, you know, I don't like to view this as just like me going to perform a show and then going home.
Right.
You know, I like to make friends.
Yep.
I like to network.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, you know, the more you get in good with people, the more they're going to scratch your back. And
right.
So...
Cool. So you would open up for Tripping Billy's? Is that how that went?
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool. All right, so we truly enjoyed your performance. And actually, Andy came up and did a little sang yes, a little bit.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
And,
what did he end up singing? Was it Dead or Alive?
No, it was Pinball Wizard. Pinball Wizard.
That's right. Yep.
But here's what happened. I noticed afterwards, I realized, you played the Who's version of Pinball Wizard. I sang Elton John's version of Pinball Wizard.
Oh.
Which, I mean, there's not a difference. It's it's just in how they say, like, the lyrics. You know, like...
Yeah.
But I noticed that afterwards, that I sang the Elton John version. I don't know what that says about me. But I think... Because I think it's actually Elton John's is better for, like, my voice range or whatever. Sure. But I just thought that was interesting that's where I went with that performance.
One of the most awesome rock songs in history. And he goes, I'm going to sing the Elton John version.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Let's see. We have some local talent around here, too. I'm trying to think of... Dwyer Michaels, 97X, use them quite a bit. And I can't think of their name.
Lynn Allen.
Yes. Have you ever played with them? Or
no.
Do you know them?
I know
all?
Billy Pfeiffer, who's a singer, pretty well. And he's a character.
No, he is.
After being around for almost 30 years, you kind of have to develop a character.
Yeah. No, and they've got a couple good songs that they had, and I think it came they were in the 80s when they hit.
Yeah.
But they're still playing shows.
And he still sounds exactly the same as in the 80s. It's scary. It's really
how good
is.
They're, yeah. They stay, yeah. No, I met him I don't know, it was years ago. But anyway, I didn't know who he was at all.
Yeah.
And I was tutoring his son or his stepson needed some assistance, and I said, "Well, I'll do it." And then he had a cowboy hat on.
Yep.
In the library where I was tutoring, and I thought, "Who is this guy? Who is this?" And he introduced himself, and he had, you know, like some bracelets and stuff on. Yep. And I'm like, "What? Who is this guy?" So anyway, I put two and two together, like the week after, and like, "Hey, I had no idea who you were." Right. And he's like, "Oh no, you know, no big deal." He was real cool about it or whatever, but I had no idea that's who he was.
Yeah.
So, what is the music scene like in the Quad Cities?
You had
be
to go
honest.
There. You
be
had to go
honest.
There. I'm gonna honestly say it's horrible.
Really?
It's just there's enough. You know, even 5 years ago, there was a plethora of bands that you could go out almost every weekend and see a different band.
Yeah.
You never have to see the same band twice. You never have to see the same cover band playing the same songs.
Sure.
But now it's weaseled down to like 5 cover bands and 3 or 4 original bands.
Yeah. Who are some of the regulars around the QC now that... Because I haven't
Fantastic Five.
Yes. Yep.
Dirt Road Rockers.
I haven't heard them.
Cody Road. I mean, it's, to be honest with you, the like bigger bands right now are the country.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So.
Yep. Gotcha.
And those are like pretty much your big three, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and I heard of the first one. The other two, I think I may have heard
Cheese
of.
Cheese Pizza, of course.
Yeah.
I'll leave them
Cheese
out.
Pizza.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Yeah.
So, ideally, what... I you know, we follow you now on Facebook.
Sure.
Sorry. And your... yeah. No, some of your goals now seem to have changed a little bit.
Yeah.
You're still having fun, still playing a ton of shows, but you are kind of looking to get into something a little more stable, and why is that?
There's just a lot of that goes into what I do musically that I don't have the patience for anymore.
Sure.
That thick skin's starting to come thin again.
Yeah.
And I like to rant a lot. And that's my way of like letting it all go, I guess.
Yeah.
Because being a musician, there's so just like any other job, I guess, there's so much crap you have to put up with.
Yeah.
But you know, it's the bar owner could decide, well, I don't want to pay you tonight.
Oh wow.
Or you
and
can,
what can you do about it? I mean, do you sign a contract when you go in?
I have
a
certain
show?
Places, but for the most part it's kind of non-realistic to use contracts with bars.
Right.
So
right.
Wow. If they don't want to sign one, they'll just book some other band, you know?
Yeah. Jeez.
So there's just so much that goes into it, and you know, I'm away from my kids
mm-hmm.
a lot.
Yeah.
You know, like I've told you earlier, I've been in Chicago 3 times this month, and you know, plus it puts miles on my car. I put 2,000 miles on my car in 6 weeks.
Jeez. Wow.
So it's just all these little factors adding up. And like one thing one of my friends and I were talking about is, you know, how I said the other day, I want to go back work for the man.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I never thought about it until he put it in perspective. Thank you, Jason. That, you know, there's something to be said about going into a job, punching the clock.
Yeah.
walking out the door, not leaving having to worry about anything.
Leaving it, yeah.
Now, I never actually thought about it that way until I guess I got in this situation.
Sure.
But now I actually long for that because there's so much that I have to do when I'm home, when I'm on the road.
Right. And you're looking for that stability.
Yeah.
You're looking for that, hey, I know what to expect when I go into this job. I know exactly what I'm doing. With everything being so up in the air and not knowing if you're going to get paid,
right.
That has got to just put a knot in your stomach. I mean, you're playing your heart out, and then you don't know if you're going to get paid.
I get sick. I don't call into work like a normal person and miss 40, 50 bucks.
Yeah.
I might miss what some consider to be a full week's paycheck in one show.
Right.
So, you know, it's a huge risk.
Well, and also, you probably don't have health insurance or...
No health insurance. Kids, you know, of course have medical cards.
Sure.
Yeah.
No health insurance, no retirement, no none of that.
Right.
And so I'm getting 35 years old, so it's getting to that point where it's like, all right, time to be a big boy.
but at the same time, this has been your passion since you were in your teens.
This is all I've known.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So I can't see you cutting it off cold turkey.
Yeah, no.
I think you would definitely do it, but maybe play a show or two a month or, you know, something like that. Can you see yourself doing that?
It comes down to the point of I wouldn't have to play shows because I have to.
Yeah.
I can then play shows because I want to.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's something I miss, too. You know, this has become a job, and, you know, I still love doing it, don't get me wrong, but there's certain aspects of it that make it seem like, all right, I have to go play again tonight. You know, I've lost that spark underneath me.
Right.
Because it became just a normal job.
Right.
So I miss the days when I would drive for 4 hours, play for half an hour, and get paid $10. You know, because you were a kid, and you had that excitement in you.
Right.
But now that it's become your job, and you're like, all right, well, I know what time I'm doing next weekend.
Yeah, I got bills.
Monday,
Yep, I got to do it, so I got to make sure I get out there. And then it's not as fueled by that passion that you have.
Right.
It's out of necessity.
Right.
I've got to do
that
this.
Hunger, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. So what are some of the coolest venues you've ever played?
Oh, wow. Wow, this is going to sound really funny, but the three shows I've played in Chicago are actually at a pumpkin farm.
No kidding.
Bankston's Pumpkin Farm.
Yeah.
They get 15,000 people every weekend. It is like in a little amusement park.
Wow.
They've got kids' rides, more food that you know what to do with, right. Probably over 3,000 pumpkins to choose from. And it's, you know, I'm used to playing in bars every weekend.
Yeah.
So I'm used to deal with drunks, college kids, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So to be in an environment with nothing but family atmosphere, and, you know, I'm a father too, so to watch little kids dancing to my music.
That's got
to
be pretty
that's
cool.
My best gig.
Has that been... The last three times you've been to Chicago just recently, that's where you've been?
Yep,
oh,
yep.
How did you get hooked up with that? That's kind of cool.
Craigslist, believe it or not.
No kidding.
Yep. I scour Craigslist like no other just because you never know what.
Right.
What you're going to find. So.
And this turned out to be a really good
gig. Yeah, he's like looking for family entertainment for blah, blah, blah. So I sent him a message and he called me the next day and he's like, you want to come up?
Absolutely.
Okay, fine. So then I started sending some of my guys that I helped book up there as well.
Yeah.
Because he does it Saturday and Sunday. He's like, okay, want to come back? Want to come back?
Done.
Plus, you know, it's like a little vacation for me. I've got friends up in Chicago. So
sure.
Homer Glen is actually where it's at. It's like 20 minutes south of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So I just drive into the city afterwards and spend the night with them and go out to
eat.
Cool. No, that's a good deal. That's probably
my favorite. Ribco's always fun, too.
Yeah.
That's Al, the sound guy there, is such a beautiful ear, knows exactly what he's doing. He's always treated me right. So.
Yeah. Good deal.
So, who would you say are, like, your musical influences?
Oh, wow. Elvis Costello.
Yeah?
For sure.
Yeah.
Love Elvis Costello. The band called The Wild Hearts. They're from England. They're totally underground. Never really made it big anywhere, but they've got this huge cult following kind of
thing. How long have they been around?
Probably 25 years.
No kidding.
Yep.
Wild Hearts.
But they've never really broke anywhere.
Right.
So.
Huh.
Cheap Trick. And then it goes anywhere from like my guilty pleasure's Bread from the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, it's total cheesy song. Like, maybe I'm a won't you. You know, but there's just something to be said about that style of songwriting that it doesn't happen really anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Good deal.
One of my claims to fame is that when I was in college, I worked at a performing arts center. And I got to drive Joan Jett to the airport.
Nice.
Yeah, and I had to like go in the morning and pick up her coffee. Like, I had to go to Starbucks, and I have her handwritten coffee order, which I might have that here.
That's awesome.
I have her handwritten coffee order, and I had to go, and so I drove Joan Jett and all three Blackhearts with her manager and then, like, her mentor to the airport from Cedar Falls to Cedar Rapids. So for the last half hour of the trip, when they were like all awake. Joan Jett and I just talked about politics for like we were. It was a Halloween show, and the election was the first Tuesday after. It was like a couple days away,
right?
And we talked about politics for a half hour. Joan Jett. So now my other thing, like this is something I talk about a lot. I know I talked to the Ian about this. I turned 27 on Sunday. And, every, rock musicians die when they turn 27.
Oh, 27 that's like club. A thing. Yep.
Yeah. So I was saying that you have Eric Clapton. Eric Clapton is probably, his early 70s, maybe? Late 60s?
Yeah. Close.
He's had some age on him. He's been playing the guitar forever, ever since he was a little kid. He's had 70 years to become the greatest guitar player in the world. You know what I mean? He's had 70 years to hone his craft, to work on it. To fail, to succeed.
Right.
And so now he's had 70 years to become the greatest guitar player in the world. And yet, anytime anybody writes a top 100 guitar players or top 10...
He's never included.
He's number two, with Jimi Hendrix being number one. Yeah. So Eric Clapton, who's had 70 years to hone his craft, is beaten by Jimi Hendrix, who died when he was 27. You know what I mean? Like,
he still can't top that list.
Yeah, and Jimi Hendrix, he is a great guitar player, but it was almost like, because he died...
That's what made him so famous.
That's what... I wonder... You have people who have these legacies that they died really young. Kurt Cobain, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison,
right?
They all died when they were my age, and so would they have that legacy still if they would not have died?
No.
So do you think right now Eddie Vedder is pretty amazing? You know what I mean? He was just in town like last week.
I know. Yeah. Did you catch that at all? No.
Of course I was playing.
But Eddie Vedder, I think right now still has that I'm a legend kind of status.
Yeah.
Do you think Kurt Cobain would still have that today?
I think he'd be hated today.
Yeah?
Because I think that he would have went so far off the deep end, because he was already starting to go there.
Like Courtney Love.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It's birds of a feather. They would have still probably been together, and he would have took a ride down with them. Yep. So.
Now, do you think that David Grohl would have the career he has today Kurt Cobain wouldn't have died?
I don't think so.
I think David Grohl totally has the best of the situation because he's pretty awesome.
Dave Grohl is hands down one of my favorite songwriters. Yeah. One of my favorite musicians.
And pretty multi talented. And really, I don't think it doesn't seem like the guy has an ego.
No.
No. He's one of the nicest guys in rock.
He'll be on Saturday Night Live, and then he'll be he's always doing different things. And I don't know, it's just kind of interesting to look at all these people. Now you look at, Amy Winehouse, she died when she was 27. Will she have some type of legacy someday where they're like, if you listen to Amy Winehouse? But at the same time, when she was around, she was drugged out and just slowly rotting away. And so it's interesting to see where these people's legacies are. I also think, I know he wasn't 27, but would John Lennon continue to be the person he's thought of if he wouldn't have been assassinated, essentially?
Yeah, I think he probably would have, but he was leaning towards the extreme.
Yeah,
towards the end of that career, though, him and Yoko, they sit in bed for however long or whatever they were making that stand against the war and everything. But I mean, he was getting pretty extreme, and I don't know if he was as mainstream as he once was.
Right.
And I don't know if he ever would have came back to that mainstream or the popularity that they had. Although, Paul McCartney's tried to hit that same stride all the way through, and he's still a mainstay. You know what I mean? He's still
people will still drop $400 to see him.
Easy, yeah, absolutely.
Can you imagine if John Lennon had a Twitter account? How amazing would that be?
Oh my God, he'd have more rants than I do. Not getting out of bed today.
What's your Chinese thoughts on because Ian and I talk about music a lot. Mm-hmm, so what are your thoughts on the current state of music?
Yeah,
it's stale. is nothing more than a business anymore.
Yeah.
It's nothing, you know, back, that's why I admire the 70s music so much. It's because back then, you were either good or you sucked.
Right.
There was no in-between. There's no, okay, we're going to make you good.
There's no auto-tune. Exactly. There's no, you know, engineers.
10,000 takes. You had two right. or three takes and that was it.
And
it
they were playing to yeah. get their popularity.
Yep.
And we didn't have all this social media sure. and things that you could break through with. They were playing shows to earn their chops sure. and get the crowd and the following. So,
like, you know, Florida Georgia mm-hmm. Line, for example. Do you guys know who they are?
Oh, yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
They are nothing but a product.
Yeah.
They're not musicians. They're not a band. They're a product.
Right.
And I don't blame them. They're making $3 million a year, you know?
Yeah, how can you blame them? But at the same time, to somebody like you, it who's hurts. Actually a musician yeah. that can play, that can write their own music, that's right. what I really appreciate. If I know that somebody's writing their own stuff, that really resonates with me.
Sure.
Well, because look, like, Bohemian Rhapsody was written by Freddie Mercury. You know what I mean? And that song is just pure poetry. And,
oh, yeah.
you know what I mean? There's such, like, a message there. And then, like, any song nowadays that hits number one is written by, like, a team of, like, yeah. eight people.
Right, yeah. right.
You know what I mean? You have, like, seven writers on one song.
Yep.
And, I grew up in the 90s. And oh, if you yeah. listen to my iPod, that is the music I listen to.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, Black Hole Sun, What's Up by the Four Non-Blondes. Oh. You know what I mean? Like that's
the... Could have been anywhere but there.
We listen... I know Ian and I listen to a lot of Beastie Boys.
Oh, yeah.
Like, but that's, like, the music... Like, and I know that it's not the best music in the world, but that's, you know what I mean?
You
but that's like the
that's
music
what you identify
I go
with.
Back to.
That's right. Yeah. That's yeah. right. And that's why you identify with the 70s, because your dad had all those records.
Right. But I still identify with the 90s, too, because I was right. in high school in the 90s, right. you know, and Kurt Cobain and the grunge thing was just coming out when I was in high school.
That. I know.
You know, I was the kid that wore the army jacket and always hung my head in the hallway, you know. I wanted to be the next grunge guy.
Right. Yeah. So. Right. No, I do remember that. That was, I mean, Soundgarden and
Alice in Chains. Another yeah. 27 Club guy.
Yep, yeah. yeah. See, I love Pearl Jam.
Yep.
That was just... like, when you listen to it, it's not the best. It's not the best music. But, like, Weezer, you know what I mean?
Oh,
they
that's
came
awesome.
In there.
Weezer, yeah. yeah.
Weezer came in. That's when the Foo Fighters started to kind of yep. break the scene.
Late
90s. 95.
It's a lot of good... Like, because when people think of 90s, they think of, like, Vanilla Ice, and then the NSYNC. You know what I mean? Backstreet they think
Boys,
of those,
yeah.
like the Macarena. Yeah. There was really good music. Now, one of the greatest concerts I've ever seen was I went in Chicago to the Vic Theater,
sure.
and we were front, like, row. It was you were standing, and They Might Be Giants
oh,
played
wow.
the entire Flood album. It was like the 20th anniversary of Flood, and they played the entire album. And so, I mean, to see They Might Be Giants sing Birdhouse in Your Soul live, it sure. was just phenomenal. Yeah, I mean, they played the entire album, like, and I was in the front row.
Wow. Best concert you've ever been to?
Oh, wow. That's tough. I probably want to say, well, I'm a huge harmonies guy and musically inclined musicians.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So there's a band called King's X. It's from the 80s and 90s.
Uh-huh.
That three-part harmonies, absolute monstrous guitar tones, and there's lead singer's a black guy in the 70s. It still sounds like better than half the guys out there today. You know? I've seen them 13 times.
King's X.
Yeah, so that's probably, I want to say them or Seven Dust.
No kidding.
Probably my favorite concerts I've ever been to.
Huh.
What about you?
Oh... probably Dave Matthews Band.
Oh yeah.
And I've only seen him once, so but it was good. I really enjoyed it because I'd listened to him for a long time, and to see them, and they do a lot of live albums.
Yeah.
And you have to appreciate people that can put out a live album that sounds close to what their studio album is.
If not better.
If not
yeah.
better, right.
Yeah.
So I truly appreciate it. And then to get to see it live and to see them put it all together, it was pretty
yeah.
neat to see.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, probably Dave Matthews.
Yeah.
How about yours? Well, yours is they might be Giants. Yeah.
Yeah. That was just pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And that might be the only time I've gone into Chicago to see a show.
Well, and with that concert, Emily was with me, my wife now. We weren't married at the time, But she could not stand, because I listened to Dave Matthews quite a bit.
Oh, I can't stand Dave either.
And she could not stand, and so she's like, she got me tickets just for my birthday or something like that. And so we went, and then she came out of there, and I said, so what'd you think? She goes, oh, it was pretty good.
Right.
It was pretty good. Because she actually got to see them work.
Right.
It wasn't just a sound coming out of my car stereo. She got to see them put on
right.
a show.
Visual representation.
That's
of the
right.
audio. Yeah.
That's right. So she developed an appreciation for at least that night, because after that she's like, I'm done.
Now, is there a band that you wish you could have seen? Like, I know that's a broad question, but if you were like, because I know all of us would want to see, like, the Beatles.
Beatles.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Beatles. Or, like Queen or something. Now, me, I'd love to see the E Street Band. But, like, the 8 years ago E Street Band, where they still had Clarence, is it Clemens?
Yeah.
The sax player who died. You know what I mean? Like, or I'd love to see U2. I think that they'd be a presence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, a pretty cool presence to see.
Yep, absolutely.
We could talk about music all day. Yeah. We should probably get to our questions.
We do have questions for everybody
great.
That we interview.
So,
same set of questions.
Our first question is, what is your favorite current TV show?
Favorite current TV show is probably The Blacklist.
Nice.
We get that one a lot.
I'm trying to get caught up on that one. I'm through, like, halfway through the first season, and it's one of those shows that's continuous.
Yeah.
So you can't just skip
skip
forward,
right.
and so it all builds off of one another. So, yeah, they started the new season a couple weeks ago, so still good?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I got a DVR.
I love James Spader as an actor.
Yeah.
So that's what drew me in. I'm like... Yeah.
Well, I ended up dropping The Blacklist. I think I'm the only person in America that started with The Blacklist, and then I left after, like, the mid-season break in the first season. So, like, they had the two episodes where they were, like, in the headquarters.
Yeah.
And he was in, like, a box with the guy or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I was just so into that episode. And then when they came back from the break, I just kind of
keep up with it. I can't get onto it either. As far as I want to see the next one. You know, like, there's been other shows where I'd have to see the next one. Dexter was one of them that I wanted to see. Had to see the next. Walking Dead was another one where I have to see the next episode.
Well, and the one thing with that show is the one thing I don't like shows when they have, like, a monster of the week. And I know that's, like, the purpose of the show, where it's like, this is the Blacklist. This is the Blacklist, and then these are all the criminals. But, like, I don't like that. And that's what I'm worried. Like, that's the only... That's... Like, I love the X-Files, but I couldn't just sit there and watch them, because it's just who's the new threat each week.
Right.
And I'm like, there's no, just stick something. With this alien plot and build on that. Like, and that's what I like about, like, House of Cards and stuff, is they build on one storyline.
Right.
But that's what I'm worried about with the show The Flash that came out, which I really like.
Yeah.
And it's like... They only had two episodes out, but the two episodes have been good. And, but I'm worried it's going to be like, who's the new villain this week that's been messed up by this explosion?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But
I take that back. House of Cards is pretty amazing, too. And so is The Newsroom, if you've ever seen that.
See, I don't have HBO, so I haven't gotten
The Newsroom. I haven't seen either, but Tim Emerson mentioned The Newsroom.
Yeah.
And that's something that we want to try to check out, too, because I've heard that's just awesome.
Yeah.
Well, when HBO starts their streaming service next year, I'm debating going with that. Especially if they have their entire catalog in it.
Oh, yeah.
Then I would definitely do that, because I want to see... There's shows that I want to see. Like, I want to see Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
I want to
see
Veep.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
Have you seen...
You know?
Veep is good.
Yeah.
And I haven't... You know, and I want to get caught up with Game of Thrones. I've only seen the first two seasons of Game of Thrones.
Oh, you haven't seen the latest season, have you?
And Larry David wants to do another season of Curb. He wants to do another season of Curb. So, like...
It's like watching Seinfeld. It's just
the last two seasons of Curb, I had to, like, stream illegally down online. Like, I'd be up at, like, 2 in the morning when they would first get on and stream. Well, our second question.
Yep.
If you could have any dream job, and we always say outside of the one that you currently have,
right.
what would it be?
Oh, wow. That's not something you think about every day. You know, when you're kids, of course you do.
I know.
When you get older, you're just like, I'll take anything they got. You
know? How much does it pay?
Right, exactly. Exactly. Dream job. I don't know. I'd have to say probably, it's going to sound funny, but a tour manager.
Really?
Like a band. Because then you're like, you know, you're the one that's behind the scenes.
Right.
You get to travel the country. You get to... paid to make sure everything goes all
right. Right.
And that's your responsibility, you know.
Cool. Now, you said you're a booking agent, too, right?
Yeah.
So how many acts do you help
Right now, it's currently like 4 or 5. Uh-huh. Kind of dwindled down from what I used to, just because, you know, I started doing all this, and I was doing the promotion company in Des Moines, and it started to get too much.
Yeah.
And on top of my playing, I could barely handle my schedule, let alone right. 8 or 9 others.
Yeah, yep.
So I do like 3 or 4 at the moment, and then if somebody contacts me and says, hey, I need a show, I'll help that. But.
Are they similar acts to yours? Are they acoustic?
Yeah.
Or they have they're all acoustic?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody that you want to mention on to promote at all?
No, I don't like any of them, so. No. I'm kidding. No. Excuse me. There's a guy from Chicago named Johnny Don't that I help a lot. There's a guy from Cedar Rapids named Jason Ray Brown, who's truly a one-man band. He plays bass drum, hi-hat, guitar, harmonica.
So it's like Dick Van Dyke in the first 10 minutes.
He's truly a one-man band. And then he'll play the piano with one hand and play the guitar with the other while he's playing piano. He's truly the essence of the word. Makes me look lazy. Simple as that.
Wow.
Very talented guy.
So tour manager, that'd be pretty cool.
That'd be kind of cool.
Get to see the country, see the world.
Yeah.
And still be in that music genre, you know, right. Where you want to be, and that'd be kind of cool.
But I would almost say, though, that the actual dream job for any parent, stay home.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Simple as that.
That happens.
I mean, I kind of do now, and it's awesome. You know, you get to see your kids every day, and
I know.
You get to watch them grow up. You don't have to worry about they're going to say their first word when you're away at work, you know?
Right.
Oh, right, right.
That was something this morning that Owen actually said, am I going to preschool today? I said, yep. He goes, oh, I want to stay with you. I'll miss you. I'm like, well, I wish I could. I'd stay with you every day. You know, and that's what you have to say to him, you know, because you do want to, but you have responsibilities you got to get.
Yeah, it's the hardest thing of what I do is knowing that I'm walking out the door and the girls are like, I want you to leave, you know, and I'm going to be gone for 2 days.
Yep.
You know, that's the last image I have of them.
So. Right. Right. No, I completely understand that.
Man, way to bring all
this
down.
No, I'm... So, I completely understand it, though. All right, so last question. If you could meet anyone, alive, dead, fictional, and have a meal with them, who would you meet and what would you eat?
Wow. We'll be back from this commercial break. It's going to take a minute to think of that. Wow. Who would I meet and what would I eat? Can't just leave it at who would you meet.
I know.
Had to throw that curveball in there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't even know. Probably Lenin. Probably have like Chinese food or something.
Yeah. Like Vladimir Lenin.
No, let me correct myself. Sir. John Lennon.
So, would you say John's your favorite Beatle?
Oh, by far.
Mine's George.
Yeah, I don't know who mine is. It's not Ringo. I know that.
I don't think anybody says Ringo.
I can tell you, it's not Ringo.
Even Ringo is like, nah, I think mine's George. You know, the famous line is that. There was a recording session late into the Beatles. It was probably like on Let It Be album where Ringo got upset and he left the studio and Paul filled in on the drums for the remainder of the recording. And then they had a press conference and someone asked John, they said, what would you say to people who say that Ringo Starr isn't the greatest drummer in the world? And John said, I'm not sure he's the best drummer in the Beatles.
Wow.
I think he was talented, you know, and I think he brought that that mix of all four of them was magic.
Yeah.
But I think he got lucky. You know, I think he just, you know, I think they could have done well as the three, you know. But he's definitely the one that kind of gets pushed to the back burner.
Ringo?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or think, well, we're talking about Beatles drummers. There was in Des Moines, probably about over the summer, they had Pete Best.
Yeah.
Played at House of Bricks, which is just like 150 capacity. 50 people showed up.
You're kidding.
To meet the original drummer of the Beatles.
Right.
That nobody ever gets to meet.
Right. Yeah.
50 people show up.
Wow.
It's pathetic. You know, you've got a living legend in front of you that holds ties to one of the most powerful bands ever.
Yeah.
And 50 people show up.
Wow.
Man.
Wow. Well, Chuck, thank you so much for sitting down with us today. And we truly enjoy getting to know you, or we have over the past 6 months, 7 months or so. But we hope you, we wish you the best on everything that you're trying to do, and we hope to catch a few more of your shows, and hopefully be hire you for a couple of shows,
because
we're looking at having some banquets coming up and things like that, and we really want to change some of the old hat of what we used to do. We want to try to bring a little more fun to it. And you did an awesome job at our FOS celebration, and it was a lot of fun. I thought it was a good, relaxed atmosphere, beautiful scenery, and great music. So
we'll have to jam together sometime.
Sure.
And by jam, I mean I don't know how to play any instruments.
You'll just sit there and strum.
But I can sing. I attempt to sing. And
he has no problem trying to sing.
Yeah.
Whereas I'll be a little bit more shy or reserved on that.
Yeah. So, well, this is my Ian Scott. We were that karaoke one time, and Ian's like, "There's no way that you're gonna get me up there. There's no way I'm gonna be singing. There's no way. Wasting away again in Margaritaville." All right, well, Chuck, thank you very much, and we'll talk with you soon.
Yo,
thanks, Chuck.